I think most of us have heard the saying, those who cannot remember the past are doomed to repeat it, or condemned to repeat it. I was looking that up just a little while ago. I was just wondering where that came from. Apparently, it was a Spanish-American philosopher who first said that back a long time ago. And I think we've all heard a version of that or another. And I think we all know, if we stop and think about it, that that's true. That things that have happened in the past continue to repeat itself. And this morning, I think it's important that we focus on that a little bit so that we don't find some of those negative things that's happened in the past to repeat itself today. I think we all know that it is true, though, that this happens. I mean, if we stop and think about the things that have gone on internationally and in the world, we know that, for instance, we think about the Great Depression in the 1920s and 30s and how horrible it was. But we know that's not the first time that happened. We think about the horrible, awful tornado that came through the local area and how many homes it destroyed and how many people it killed and how it affected the community. But we know that's not the first time that's happened. We're in the process of moving, and every time you move, if you've ever moved, you know, by the time you get your stuff from point A to point B, there will be at least five things broken, guaranteed. History repeats itself. You think you have everything all mapped out financially, and a week after you moved, somehow $1,000 just disappeared. History repeats itself every time. Did you know the Titanic was not the first boat to sink that claimed that it was unsinkable? History repeats itself. As Christians, we're told that there will be a day that judgment will come. And we think about that, and because we don't know when it is, and because it's such a significant event that will happen in the future, and we think about all mankind being judged for what they've done, it seems like that's something that's never happened before. But the Bible tells us differently. This morning we're going to be looking at Zephaniah, so take a few minutes to find it. It's a little bit harder to find. It's one of your minor prophets in the very end of the Old Testament. So if you look back through there, you'll find Zephaniah. Zephaniah was a prophet to the people of Judah. His mission was to tell the people of Judah to warn them about God's destruction, what he called the day of the Lord. I want us to read a small portion of this, of his warning. Start in chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 12. It says, at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish these men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries out aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them. On the day of the wrath of the Lord, in the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end, he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Zephaniah had a message from God to the people of Judah. He had a warning. He said, this is what's going to happen. And if you were reading along with me, you realize those are not pretty flowery words. Those are horrible, awful things that he's saying is about to happen to them. Destruction. Wrath. And I want to ask ourselves this morning, does any of that apply to us? This is the history. Is it going to repeat itself? As Christians, we're warned about the day of the Lord, about a judgment day. Is it possible that these things could happen to us? We're going to look at some similarities between Zephaniah's message and the message to us as God's children. The first thing I want us to look at from the passage that we just read, chapter 14, says, "The great day of the Lord is near." As Christians, we're told that the judgment day is near. It's close. We are in the last days. And Zephaniah's warning is very, very similar. He says it's near. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He says, "I'm coming soon." And what is he coming to do? He's coming to repay what it is that we've done. What have you done? What have I done? What kind of repayment are we going to get for that? Think about your workplace. If you've done what the boss has asked you to do, what kind of payment are you likely to receive? Monetary payment. Perhaps some praise and thanks. But then again, if you come in late, or you call in constantly, or completing the task isn't that important, so maybe it might take 2 or 3 days longer than it should have, etc., etc., what kind of repayment do you think you're going to get? Monetary value? Probably not very long. You think you're going to get praise and thanks for that? No. In fact, maybe quite the opposite. You might get yelled at, right? You might get chewed out. What are we going to be repaid? It's coming soon. It's near. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And looking at verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Unfortunately, there is this stigma out in the world that the end of time, we'll all be in heaven, and we will all be rewarded for the good things that we've done. After all, even the worst people have done some good things, right? Sure. But let's not be fooled. We'll be rewarded for what we've done, good or evil. What have you done? Good or evil? It's near. It's coming soon. In verse 15 of our text, it says, "A day of wrath is that day." Zephaniah's message that it is a day of God's wrath. As Christians, we find that exact same thing to be true for us. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it says, "But because of your hardened and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek." Here we read of the exact same language. We see that it is a day of God's wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. There is a day of judgment for us, just as there was a day of judgment for Judah. There is a day of judgment for everyone, all mankind. In verse 16 of our passage, we see that it says, "A day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements." As Christians, does that raise some similarities in what we've been told will happen? What about a trumpet blast? Sounds familiar to us. 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This is talking about Judgment Day, the day that Christ returns, the day of the Lord. We're told there'll be a trumpet blast. It says it right there. The trumpet of God will sound. There's so many similarities between Zephaniah's message and God's message for us. Will history repeat itself? So, knowing that this happened, and knowing that it is bound to happen again, we ask ourselves, when? When will this happen? If only we knew when, we could prepare, right? Matthew chapter 24. We're let in on some interesting information about when this will happen for us. Chapter 24, verse 36 is where we'll start. But concerning that day, and remember this is Jesus speaking to us. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food and their at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, my master is delayed, and begins to beat his fellow servant, and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is telling us, he's answering the question, when will this happen for us? And he says it's real simple. Because if you're not ready, it's going to happen like, and he gives us three really good examples. We all know the story of Noah and the flood. We know that Noah built an ark, and it took many years to build this giant ark. And we know that everyone looked at it and laughed and mocked him, thinking it's crazy. But then when it was finished, destruction came, and we know that it wiped out everyone except for Noah and his household. It said that they just continued with life, eating and drinking, marrying, and all of a sudden it was over with. We know the story of Noah. We understand the other analogies he gives us. We understand someone breaking into your house. I know there's some here that's had that happen before. Came home, and their house was turned upside down. Things were missing. Things were broken. Things were just torn up. It happens. But if you knew when that person was going to come into your house with the intentions of stealing and destructing, would you still have went to the grocery store that day? Would you still have went wherever you were? Of course not. You'd have been there, and you'd have been ready. The chances are he would have never came anyway, knowing you were there, right? But because you weren't prepared, what happened? He tells us an analogy of a servant, which we can think of today perhaps as an employee. That's how I think of it. Boss left him with a job. Left him with a job of overseeing, making sure everything was done correctly and properly, so when he returned, things would be in order. And what happened? The employee said, he's taking his time. No big deal. And so he starts falling into doing things he shouldn't. Starts abusing those that he's supposed to be overseeing. And does pretty much what he wants. And his boss returns. And he's punished. That's what happens if we're not ready. I work in the healthcare field. You can walk into a health facility any day of the week, and things will appear to be in order. But if you look a little closer, maybe, maybe not. But I guarantee you that within the month window or so that we know that these certifying bodies are coming, things will be so much nicer. They'll be in order. They'll be doing things will be falling along just like the rule book says. Why is that? Because we know about when they'll be there. We know. And so we do what's right to the T. But the scariest thing about that is those same certifying bodies have the privilege to come in anytime they want to, day or night, doesn't matter the day or week. They can always come anytime they want to. I'm just here to tell you, there's some times if they came in, we'd be in lots of trouble. I think that's true of anywhere, no matter where it is that you work. When is he coming? When should we be ready and prepared for him to come? If only we knew when, we could make sure everything's right. I could continue doing whatever it is I want to until that point, right? Jesus says, no one knows. He even says he doesn't know. Jesus is God. And he even says, honestly, I don't know. Only the Father knows. So when should we be ready for this day of destruction that we're warned about? All the time. All the time. If we're ready now, then it doesn't matter if he comes right now or if he comes 50 years from now. It doesn't matter because we'll be ready. When should we be ready? Every second of the day. By what standard is it that we'll be judged? You know, we've read passages here that tells us that we'll be judged and repaid based on what we do, good or evil. But who gets to say what's good or evil? Because my opinion about what's good may be really different from yours. And we know that that's true for people in the world, right? Things that we go, ooh, that's not good. And you talk to them, you start to realize, I don't see anything wrong with that. What standard is it? Let me ask you this, for anyone who's been in school, if you have one of those instructors, one of those teachers, that it's their way or the highway, does it really matter if you know the subject? Or does it matter if you know what they want you to know? Because when they're judging, when they're grading, guess what's going to be right or wrong? What they say is right or wrong. You know, like I was talking about earlier in a job, you may have a rule book that says this and that, this and that, this and that. But if your boss wants it done differently, how are you going to be judged? By the person who judges you, your boss. You see, it matters by what standard we're going to be judged, by who's going to judge us. That's what we need to look at to see if we're doing good or evil. In John chapter 12, verses 48, we read the answer to that question. John chapter 12, verse 48. Again, the words of Jesus. He says, the one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. That's pretty clear and simple, isn't it? Pretty easy to understand. Who gets to decide what's right and what's wrong? It's not me. It's not you. It's not the Pope. It's not the President. One and only person is Jesus. Jesus has told us what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, for that matter. That's the instruction that we should look at. Perhaps some of us have been to court before for whatever reason. And if not, we've all watched the shows on TV. What happens when someone goes to court? You have attorneys or lawyers on both ends that argue the law and try to apply it to that situation. The law is the words of Jesus Christ. That's what we'll be judged on. We're also told in James chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." That is not the law, the old law, that is, not the law that we find in the books of the Old Testament, but rather the law that we're under in Jesus Christ. The law that says you must follow the words of Christ, that's the standard that we will be judged by. So as we are looking at these similarities between Zephaniah's word and God's word for us, we see that there are several. We see that just as in Zephaniah's message, that it is coming very soon, the truth is also same for us. We see that the wrath of God would soon come upon the people of Judah. And we know that the wrath of God will soon come upon the world. We need to understand this so that we're not doomed to repeat the same history. We know that only Jesus can save us. We know he's the only one. John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, "No one comes to the Father except through me." He's the only one that can save us. So how should we be living? By what he says, by his standard. We know that we have to be ready all the time. Every second of every day, we must be prepared for our life on earth to be completely over and to live a life in eternity, whether we so choose for it to be in heaven or in hell. We must be ready all the time, knowing that this horrible day of wrath is coming. We must seek the Lord. We must heed the words of Zephaniah. Going back to our text, we read the very end of chapter 1. Let's read the very beginning of chapter 2 in Zephaniah. He says, "Gather together, yes, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord." This is the only way that they were able to escape the wrath of God. And Zephaniah is telling them, you have to seek God. You must. If you intend on being hidden from this, being delivered from this horrible thing that's going to happen, you must seek God. Today, as Christians, as children of God, that is the only way that we will escape judgment day, that we'll escape the wrath of God. Because we all know that we've sinned, that we're not perfect. There's no one save Jesus Christ, who has ever lived on this earth and been perfect. So we know what we deserve. We deserve to be destroyed, to be burnt up in fire, for that wrath of God to come upon us. But we know the only way to avoid that is to seek God, to live a life for Him, to follow the instructions that Jesus set out for us. That is the only way that we'll escape from that. This morning, are you sitting here in the pew, waiting for services to end so you can go home and continue the life you were living before, not really caring how it is that you're living it, but rather doing what feels right? Or this morning, are you sitting here and reflecting and realizing, perhaps I shouldn't be doing X, Y, and Z? Perhaps I should be living a life for God, one in which is active. And it's not just being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but instead is doing the things of God so that others can see that example and others want to become part of that, and helping others and bringing others to Christ. Perhaps that's our situation this morning. If so, I encourage you to seriously take a look at that. Make yourself ready. Make yourself ready so that history does not repeat itself once again. This morning, as you're sitting there reflecting, whatever need it is that you have, whether it be to repent, to come and bring that before others so that we can help you with that, or perhaps to confess your sins amongst Christian friends and family. Perhaps this morning you've never really considered living a life for God. You want to become a child of God. That isn't completely possible based on what Jesus has taught us and nothing else. If that's your need this morning, we encourage you to do that. Whatever need it is that you have, all you have to do as we stand and we sing is come forward.